barely get a glimpse of him.
Oh, what is he, shy? If we can get a picture of Julia Roberts in a thong, we can certainly get a picture of this weirdo. Put an ad on the front page. Cash money for a picture of Spider-Man. He doesn't want to be famous, and I'll make him infamous.
My spider senses are starting to tingle.
Just hang on to your lariat.
Wonder what kind of a scene I'm getting into.
And welcome back to Behind the Panels, issue 97, the comic book show that took a bite out of a radioactive spider and then had to take 2 weeks off. I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McVeigh.
Dave Longo.
In this issue, the first trailer for Batman prequel series Gotham. In this one, a young Jim Gordon partners with Jar Jar Binks.
Mooey, mooey.
Missa no like this.
Missa no have no parents either.
Then every comic book studio ever announces a TV show this summer and its Future's End, Original Sin, and The Woods in what we've been reading. Plus, our kick-ass pick of the week, The Amazing Spider-Man, Family Business. This is Behind the Panels.
That is so awesome.
Oh, I love it. Change, Leopardo. That was the Japanese Spider-Man. That was legit series. It was, you can actually find those mostly on the Marvel website.
I've seen some of them, actually.
And yeah. This is where Spider-Man, because it's Japanese, had a giant robot with him that he could summon. I mean, that's awesome. That's like the best alternative Spider-Man you're ever going to get. Spider-Man.
Mark Webb, are you listening?
Yeah. I think he is. Have you seen the ending?
Later in the show, I'll read you out. Like a friend of mine sent me like the Internet Movie Database forum reviews for Amazing Spider-Man 2. Oh my God. We'll have to hit some of those up in feedback maybe. But boys, we're back.
It's been a while.
I knew you were going to do that.
I would like to point out how easily we've slipped back into this.
I know.
It feels like a good shoe.
Long story short, I think life got in the way. But I got to say up front, sorry to hear the passing of two of the other Australian comic book podcasts.
Very sad.
Since we've been away, Non-Canonical seems to have wrapped up shop after 207 episodes.
Whoa.
Which is a milestone. I mean, these guys were doing it long before us and got some amazing guests and amazing things. They've all gone off to do other things. But so they've gone. Our good friends at Beardy and the Geek, that's of course Ryan Huff. And, who we had on the show.
For those who remember, Ryan was on the show.
Back when we did The Deep.
Yeah.
Whiles back. They've closed up as well, so we might be the last one standing, boys.
Mm. So, well, it's good for us, I guess. You know,
it's good for us, but anything that sort of takes the variety of voices out of the Australian scene is always
agreed. Yeah. And I will throw out an open invitation to any of the hosts of any of those shows.
Yeah,
if they want to come on and have a chat with us about anything, they're welcome to.
But for now, you got us, and something if you've never listened to the show before, something we do every week when we do record weekly,
we talk about comics.
As we talk about comics, this is like Oprah's book club for nerds.
Oh, it is.
That's what we do. But we also have a regular segment every single week. Something I like to call our vintage clip of the week. And here's this week's one.
Windy out there. Weather person didn't say anything about so much wind today.
That's because the weather person didn't know. In fact, that gust of wind has nothing to do with the weather.
That was no gust of wind. That was a gust of me.
It's the blowhard, the evil windbag, the greatest example of reading gone wrong.
It's a good thing I blew into town. I'll give Fargo North a surprise birthday party. He'll never forget. I just hope he doesn't get wind of it.
Meanwhile, Spider-Man, unaware that the blowhard is in town, tries to think of a present for Fargo.
For Fargo? Who is this Fargo they talk about?
That was the best vintage video of the week, I think.
It was pretty close to Washing Marshall.
Well, I don't even know if I want to tell you where it was from. Just it ruined the magic. That was from that, not the Electric Company. That
the Electric
one.
Company.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of era.
Yeah,
stuff.
The Electric Company had Spider-Man as a regular spot, basically.
Yeah, right.
I don't think Spider-Man ever spoke, did he?
No, he didn't. It was the super Spidey stories that were in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you actually just had Spider-Man narrate and other people talking. They had
and
thought
was
bubbles.
It Samuel L. Jackson?
No, it was Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Don't do that. and he's not Lawrence Fishburne either.
That's right. Oh, man, did you hear that rant?
Oh, wow. Man,
wait,
yeah.
Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman did the voiceover.
It was about the spoiler or something.
Yeah, yeah. We played ages ago. Spider and Spot. Oh shit! I might even still have it on here. You never know.
The first time
the stuff that we collected our soundboards.
I'll just see if I still got it on my soundboard. No, I just don't still have it. But there was one we did a while ago, and you can find this. Go back in old shows. Just search for Spidey Super Stories on Behind the Panels, mm-hmm. and you'll see that one of the earlier episodes that we did, we played a clip from Morgan Freeman. He comes in and goes, "Who could have done this?" It's the spoiler.
It's the spoiler.
That's it was amazing. Andy Dufresne.
I knew the spoiler.
He changed my life.
That's the last time I saw the spoiler.
Well, that's how everyone gets out of Rikers in Spider-Man things. Like, it's a very Spider-Man themed episode. We it's actually funny because we were worried about doing two Spider-Man stories back to back. So we did Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then we just took 2 weeks off to solve that problem. So
we should point out, and we'll mention more about this in Geek Movie Club, which we are recording. But one of the reasons we took one of those weeks off was because Mr. Longo here went to see Star Wars at the cinema for the first time. Don't go into a big rant because we'll come back to it in GMC. But this was a life changing event. I think.
He's come back. He's a woman now.
Yeah, with a beard.
Just like the Austrian entry for Eurovision.
Absolutely.
Which we're going to go off and watch after this as well. What else do we normally do? God, I've forgotten. We read stuff, don't we?
We do. We read stuff. I think we read stuff.
No, we just flick through, look at the pictures, and we just pretend that
we... That's why we read comics. We don't have to read.
Because I never learnt to read.
Yeah.
My show notes tell me I should do this.
Well, looks like we got ourselves a reader. Read between the lines, bitch.
So many lines to read between bitches.
Yes.
That's where I was going with that. I guess we can't talk about anything without talking about... No, let me finish. We can't talk about anything without talking about the two big events of the Marvel and DC worlds. New 52 Futures End. Mm-hmm. No apostrophe in there, meaning multiple futures are ending, presumably. And Original Sin, which is the other, is the Marvel one. Now, I want to say something about Futures End before we get going, which is Forever Evil, which is the other event that's still going.
Yes.
Forever Evil, as my person at my local Sydney comic book store said to me today, the joke is that it has been seemingly going on forever now. Also that we've got we noticed that we had the Aftermath issues coming out last week. Issue 7 still hasn't come out. Yeah. So we've got we know what happens to Dick Grayson now, apparently. And also the solicitations for July or August, whatever. We know he goes off and becomes a super secret spy or something. So
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so it's all been ruined for us because DC has bollocked the release of this thing. Mm-hmm. But we've already rolled into the next big event, which is Futures End, which... Let me just set this up for you from the Zero issue. If you read the Free Comic Book Day one, which also happened while we were away, that was an epic day where I didn't sleep for 24 hours. Another reason we didn't do a show that weekend.
But we all got free comics.
But we all got free comics, and I was on radio that weekend, so it's all good. But the setup for this. Let's see if this sounds familiar. A 35 years from now, the DC universe, a robotic entity. has taken over everything, and only a handful of the heroes are left alive.
I think I've read this.
And this robotic entity, they can't trust anyone because some of them have been taken over by the robotic entity, and they don't know who which ones are which. So they decide, in a misguided attempt at fixing things, to go back in time and stop it before this robotic creature was ever created. Now, DC say that they came up with it. They were proudly talking about it, saying, "We came up with this idea in about June 2013. No shit. Because that was about the time that Age of Ultron issue 10 came out. So if that sounds familiar. Now, you could argue that, you know, Age of Ultron was in turn inspired by Infinite Crisis and all these other things that have gone before. Sure. But the plot, the backstory to this is identical.
So, let me guess. In issue 10, they'll rip a hole in the fabric of space and Galactus will come through, right?
And they'll introduce a Neil Gaiman character.
And introduce a Neil Gaiman character.
But the actual issue... the Zero issue wasn't too bad despite that. You got this glimpse of this, of basically the heroes with beards in the future. And then and there's one scene where Frankenstein had Black Canary's head embedded in his chest.
Awesome.
Using her canary cry as a weapon.
And spider legs. They all have robotic spider legs.
Which is wild.
But remember Wild Wild West?
Yeah.
Remember how Kenneth Branagh had a half spider body?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Robotic spider legs. This is also sounding a little bit like Marvel at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't the Doc Ox Spider-Man have robotic spider legs?
Yeah. They look like that a bit, actually.
Spiders are in, Dave.
Spiders are big.
They're
big
so
business.
Hot right now. I told you this would be a spider-themed episode. But then when they go back, but Batman sends Batman Beyond back. Okay, listen back to that. It makes sense.
It does, yeah.
Because the Batman Beyond character was originally a creation of the animated
Bruce Timm.
Bruce Timm. But he's now in the DC in the New 52,
as is Harley Quinn.
So they've sent the Batman of the future has sent Batman Beyond, which is the black and red kind of Batman, back.
Isn't it Terry?
Tezza. Let's call him Tezza for now. Send him back to the present DCU, but he Batman can't... Look, if you want a time machine built, don't get Batman to do it.
I think we have a sound clip that kind of sums up all of this, don't we?
Which is what?
What's DC up to now?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What's DC up to now?
I think that sums it up,
but
really.
Basically, he misses the mark, comes back in DC 5 years from now. This is the 5 years later event that they're leading into. Now, we won't get all the gaps filled in until... the 3D motion cover event in September.
And the pin-up
covers and all that sort of
and
stuff.
And the bagged ones.
Yeah. Do you guys remember several podcasts ago we were talking about what's going to be the next gimmick for DC? And this was it.
Yep.
Pin-up covers. How come none of us thought of pin-up covers?
That
means that there are possibilities for even more gimmicks
DC
that we don't
an
know
opportunity.
About.
I think they should have centerfolds.
Centerfolds, yeah. don't worry, that'll be coming in September 2015.
No, okay. I'm going to put my shoe down again, right? No, it's going to be.
You don't have any shoes.
Dave,
it's
going to be. Got 2 feet.
It's going to be Mad Magazine fold-in covers.
Yep.
That'll be the next DC.
They own Mad Magazine, so they could do a whole lot of Mad crossovers. Anyway, very quickly. Justice League, New whatever it's called, New 52 Futures End number one isn't very good, despite a reasonably decent setup, because they've just given us a book full of characters that got cancelled and we don't care about.
And I've said,
with the exception of Batman Beyond, it's just like. Stormwatch, Grifter,
Firestorm,
Frankenstein, and...
In a pre-show coffee, I think I summed it up when I basically said this almost feels like Jim Lee's contract was you've got all my characters, but then you've cancelled them all. Let's put them all back in a book.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So let's talk about quickly then the other big event by comparison, which is Original Sin, which is Marvel's event for 2014. Mm. This is the death of the Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
The Zero issue for this came out last week. And it wasn't bad. We were talking about this before the show, those fabled pre-show coffees that you've spoken of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave, you were saying at the time just how emotional it actually was.
I just thought the Zero issue was unreal.
Yeah, because you had these really great moments
between
Sam Alexander Nova and Uatu, the Watcher.
Who's looking kind of odd now, though. They've changed his artwork to such a point where
he's looking quite phallic.
He doesn't look like, the Watcher that I remember.
He's a penis in a cloak, let's face it.
He's a penis that watches. Come on.
The visual of a penis in a cloak. I'm sorry.
Who shot the Watcher?
The Watcher's thing. So that's creepy.
Come on. Who shot the Watcher?
Oh.
It was Maggie.
Come on now.
The listeners got it before you guys did.
But the setup for this is interesting. It's basically it's a whodunit setup, mm-hmm. and it'll drag on as long as it does.
No,
and it will set up another miniseries.
Series, yeah, it'll be whatever it is. Original Sins, you know.
But who has Aftermath the eye? Remixed. Who has the eye?
Mm. Yeah. Speaking of Aftermath,
yeah,
can we just briefly talk about what DC's been up to now?
No, we should quickly just say that Original Sin 1 was an awesome read.
I mentioned it at the top of the thing. Actually, yeah, Original Sin number 1 was awesome. I'm actually looking forward to the series. Mm. The characters are really well written. It's a really good dynamic. They kind of borrowed a few things from the films as well. But you got Nick Fury back in there as an investigator, old Nick Fury back in as an investigator. You got a really great dynamic between, and they've actually even referred to like Tony Stark in there as like you know, big man in suit of armor. You know, just things like that.
Very nice.
So just little things like that. There's clearly one to get new readers on board. Yeah, what we were mentioning before about Future's End and Aftermath and whatnot, the issues we said before, issue 7 of Forever Evil is not out yet, but the Aftermath issues have started coming out, which is weird. This is DC's just bollocks that
what the hell happened? How could they have got that wrong?
I know. And they already pushed back issue 7 and
I was talking to one of our listeners the other day, and they were basically saying as soon as Aftermath came out, they immediately went back through their comics going, did I miss something?
Yeah, I had to check 3 times because I thought, I'm pretty good at this stuff, but I mean, you know.
They're not alone. Marvel did this as well with Hawkeye. Remember when they released one issue of Hawkeye, and we're going, did we skip an issue?
Yeah.
And then
they released
that issue later because it wasn't quite ready. You know?
Yeah, we got like 16 before 15 or more, whatever it was. Yeah. Very, very quickly, I will mention. I'll spend a bit of time. I'll talk about The Woods number 1.
I've wanted to read this.
The
really
Woods.
Badly.
I actually. Yeah. Went into King's on the way here and I got the last copy off the shelf because I'd already read it. Yeah, I'd already read it digitally because I get a lot of that stuff for free because of the Newsarama gig. But I wanted to pick it up because the artist on this, Michael Dianalis, I think his name is. Apologies, Michael, if I'm mispronouncing it. It was the artist on one of my favorite books last year, which is A Marler's Blade. But it's also written by James Tynion IV, who we know from Batman and Talon and stuff like that. Really, really good book. It's basically about the school that seems to have been transported to another planet and they all now have to work out how to survive together. And a group of them have gone out into the woods to this sort of thing that seems to be leading them out there. They don't know what. And the indication is that they're all in some big game that...
Oh, this sounds good. I want to read this.
That forces beyond their control.
So it's Hunger Games.
it's got that kind of vibe. It seems to be aimed at that kind of market.
Or Avengers Arena.
Yeah, look, you know, it is drawing from a lot of those things.
It's an old story.
It's an old story. Like no new stories, you know, nothing's new, but this one's done particularly well.
Yeah, that sounds good. I want
to. And it's got
it.
A good sense of humor to it. And it seems to be Tynion IV cutting loose on his own thing. And we've seen him doing...
Well, the reason why those stories are popular is because the idea of people hunting people is actually a really compelling...
The most dangerous game.
Yeah, it's a very compelling...
Now, I remember seeing the cover in some of the pages. Like, the art style kind of makes you think it's going to be original and unique. Like, it doesn't seem to be...
Well, his art is really good. He did a run on, I think it was Superior Spider-Man Team-Up, I think, for a while, and that was really good. One of the Superior Spider-Man spin-off books he did a run on, but where he really broke through was Dark Horse's Marler's Blade. So, and he also did a few other indie things as well. So great artist. Check him out if you haven't seen him before. Quickly running through DC's releases this week. Earth 2, number 23. My God.
I really enjoyed it.
This is like under Tom Taylor and Nicola Scott. This is a fine ass book.
This is the example.
This is my pull quote.
Fine ass book.
Richard Gray, this is a
great example.
I'm so behind on Earth 2.
This is a great example of how the right creative team can make magic because Earth 2 was floundering. It was dead in the water. It was beautifully drawn, but it was just, there was nothing compelling about it. And in one issue, Tom Taylor turned this book around.
And I would argue that it's a must read title now.
Yeah, I absolutely adore it.
More so than the rest of the New 52.
Mm. There's a couple of books I still read in the New 52, but this is one of the.
It's just really well written. The art's great. It's big blockbuster art. Nicola does it well.
She does it really well.
The other thing that I want to mention on that is that Connor Hawke is floating around in Earth 2.
With one of the best lines in the book, quite frankly.
Yeah, and it's actually because they have a Red Arrow guy in there. Who we thought might have been alternative universe Roy Harper for a while, but it's actually Connor Hawke, who I was lamenting the loss of after Flashpoint because he was a really good character that they introduced in the mid-90s as Green Arrow's son, and he actually took over the Green Arrow mantle while Ollie Queen was dead. So I really got, having read Green Arrow for years, I really got to know that character as Green Arrow as well.
And there's hints that it might be in the series too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So we should mention, just sidebar, Arrow this week and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week was some fine comic book television.
Yeah, fine That's television.
Both of them ending next week, I think.
Yes, both coming to conclusion. And let me tell you, there was a lot of chatter on the interwebs this week because when Arrow finished, everybody's going, you can't leave it like that. And they actually had to come out and say, there is one more, relax, there is one more, you know? Because I think it's just because it's odd because it's 23 episode season,
yeah,
which is a really odd number.
Yeah, you know, because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s coming to an end at 22.
Yeah, well, most series are 22, yeah. 22 or 26, they're round numbers. And Arrow, both seasons have been 23. Which is really odd.
Why not? CW like to do it different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quickly running through some of the other new stuff that came out. Nailbiter, number one. That's an Image book that was out this week. Really interesting. It's about a small town where it seems to have the highest number of serial killers that have come out of this town, like the 16 of them. And they're trying to work out why. And people go there to investigate it and stuff. Cops coming. And the Nailbiter is taken from the last big serial killer who got off on, you know, technicality. And he used to target people who bit their nails. And he would actually then... let their nails grow out and then chew them down to the bone. Mm. So it was like that was his modus operandi, as it were. So it's an interesting book. But then we were talking to the show about the fact that there's so many Image horror titles coming out, and I wonder if they're just like waiting to hit on the next Walking Dead so hard that they just keep greenlighting every horror book, and you know, because Walking Dead can't stick around forever.
Read Revival.
They'd like it to.
Issue 127 comes out next week.
Revival came out as well.
Revival came out. How was that?
Amazing.
This week? Yeah. Look, Revival's always.
Let's just
amazing.
Say that
I'm a few issues back on Revival.
Me too.
Let's just say Revival had the best cover of the month.
Oh, really?
But I won't spoil it because you should really
it's
just
still
Google
the same
it.
Cover artist, Jennifer
You should just Google it and look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
describing it just spoils the fun.
Her cover art is amazing.
Yeah.
I love her cover art. I think you could frame almost every issue. Yeah. I haven't read it actually, but Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man number one came out this week.
Haven't read that, but I did read Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, because that came out a few weeks ago, and that
we didn't get a chance to
talk about it. So Peter Parker's back,
absolutely. Yay. And what a great!
It was such a fun issue.
That whole sequence with him being out there naked, but with basically a web nappy, is quite frankly one of the greatest sight gags I've seen in a long time.
It's kind of like if we're going to bring back Peter Parker, let's just go, you know, literally balls out.
Yeah,
you know, on this thing.
You know. What a way to put it. I haven't read 1.1 yet, though.
No, which is kind of... My understanding is that's kind of like almost a side, so you don't necessarily need to read that.
Right.
So, but I'm glad he's back. I kind of miss Superior Spider-Man, but I suspect that after all that, I kind of miss it.
But it's going to be kind of fun to watch Peter Parker pick up the pieces now. Because, I mean, he's literally, every time he turns around, there's something else that Doc Ock was responsible for, and he has to pick up the pieces.
And not least of which, somebody else who knows his identity now.
Sorry, Dave's just showing us.
Don't ruin it.
It's
the
cover
it's
of the Revival.
It's Revival issue 20.
Yeah,
so
Google
that.
This because it's brilliant. The other book that came out this week, which will actually be our Kick-Ass Pick of the Week next week, which is the X-Men No More Humans original graphic
Looking
novel.
Looking forward
to this. Because we're running through these graphic novels. I'm loving the return of the graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's easy on us. It's only one book we have to read.
Absolutely. And and they're great because they're just these... nice, tight little stories that have a beginning, middle, and end. You're out. You're done.
There you go. It actually was in my show notes. Catch up. Amazing Spider-Man number one.
There you go. Hey.
Next week, which is the release of the... I'm going to start that sentence again, listeners. Next week, which are the releases on the 14th of May, 2014. Right. 14/5/14. Or if you're in the US, 5/14/14.
Hey.
Is Bee and Puppycat number one from Boom, which is actually a spin-off from I believe a TV show. It's kind of I think it's an Adventure Timey kind of thing.
Okay, so I'm not going to read that.
I probably really read that. But you know, it's one of those ones that's going to be like have a massive following.
Yeah,
there's so many people looking forward to it. Batgirl number 31.
I'm there.
Gail Simone.
That's another one of the New 52 is a must read.
Read the zero issue for Justice League United, because I like what that's a bit. they even actually make the Aboot joke in that somewhere. This is basically Justice League Canada,
right?
With a few US people in there for good measure. So Green Arrow is in that team. So I'm reading that book, but it's actually a good book. This is Jeff Lemire. Superman.
It's just Justice League International with a different title. It really is.
Pretty much.
This one's exciting.
Superman Doomed number one. It's a one shot. It's a Doomsday book.
Yeah.
So
I might be in on that. So
check it out. Starlight number 3's out. Loving that book. This is interesting. Mars Attacks Firstborn. The only reason I'm interested in reading this book, apart from Chris Ryle writing, is Sam Keith is doing the art. And if you know the Max.
I love Sam Keith, yeah.
And
I think you pronounce it.
Oh, is it Kaif?
Kaif?
Okay.
I think so.
I've always meant, because I think I've always misread it.
He does
Keith.
Some awesome Sandman covers.
I think you're right. I think I actually heard it pronounced as Kaif. Yeah, it could be Sam Keith.
I'm not sure. I remember hearing it somewhere. Yeah, there's an Aliens book that he did, which is
because
really,
I've always
really
read it as Keith, so I think I just mispronounced
it. It reads
constantly.
Like Keith, yeah.
But the other one,
it's
that's
like
coming,
Lemire, Lemire.
Exactly. You know, yeah. Let's call the whole thing off.
Sure. Yeah.
Who says potato?
Potato.
I don't think anybody says
tomato.
Potato.
The other book that's starting next week is United States of Murder, Inc. Number 1. This is Brian Michael Bendis returning to the Icon imprint to do,
which is one of my favorite books of his. So.
Yeah. So he is, I mean, I love it when he does this stuff. And
well,
usually
Comixology, which we'll come back to you later, but Comixology just had a sale of Brian Michael Bendis, and I think it's still going on right now. Mm. So by the time you hear
6,000 books for only 25 cents.
No, actually, it's only a select group of titles, but there's a bunch of his early crime books are part of that sale.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I do recommend some of these. Some of his early crime stuff is really good. So we read Fire on the show.
And yeah. Goldfish.
We've got,
I read Goldfish, yeah.
We've got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to quickly whip through the news headlines so we can do a little bit of talking point stuff and then spend a good 5 minutes talking about the book. So here's the news headlines. US network ABC have announced the renewal of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a second season.
In addition to their current show, Marvel fans also get an Agent Carter series starring, hope you still my beating heart, Hayley Atwell.
DC Entertainment's Constantine, iZombie and The Flash have also received series pickups, ensuring that comic fans will be knee-deep in comic bookery in the next TV season.
Arrow executive producer Mark Guggenheim will take over writing on Marvel's X-Men following Brian Woods' departure in August.
Dark Horse Presents is relaunching in August with a new format, and the return of Frank Miller and Jeff Darrow's Big Guy and Rusty the Boy Robot, also known as Dave Longo's birthday present.
Cable network Syfy is reportedly adapting Frank Miller's Ronin. No, everybody calls it Syfy now.
they don't.
Yes, they do. Go listen around. Frank Miller's Ronin for TV, along with Jonathan Hickman's Pax Romana. Sorry, Pax. I say that one more time. Pax Romana. Charles Sewell's Letter 44 and Juan Jose Rips Clone, which is actually not a bad book.
Celebrated artist Dick Ayers, best known for being one of Jack Kirby's inkers on the early issues of the Fantastic Four, passed away this week, aged 90. He was also the signature penciler on Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos, co-creator of the 1950s Western horror character Ghost Rider, and inducted into the Will Eisner Comic Book Hall of Fame in 2007.
It's very sad. First full trailer for Fox's Gotham series debuted this week. Let's have a listen.
I love this city, and I see it going to hell. Sometimes I think this place is cursed. But I won't let it fall apart without a fight.
Citizens of Gotham, we will not. We cannot let these killers and these robbers and these rapists and these thugs win. Not on my watch.
There is a war coming. A terrible war. There will be chaos. Rivers of blood in the streets, I know it.
It's my new partner, Jim Gordon.
You have a little danger in your eye. I wonder what you plan to do with that.
And a little money in your pocket.
Hey, Jim Gordon! Hey.
California! Gotham!
This trailer is
embedded. Here we come!
Sorry. This trailer is embedded at behindthepanels.net, and I do recommend going and have a look at it because it is really good.
Actually, I was very skeptical about the series. It actually looks kind of fun.
I was very surprised. It's taking itself really seriously, and it looks really good.
We got to talk about something. We got a talking point this week.
Hey,
we did this talking point. This is a new sort of a regular informal section we have, and we won't spend too much time talking about it because we've spoken it extensively on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. Various people have had very strong comments about the Comixology changes. Now, when Amazon bought Comixology just before we went on a break, we were saying a little worried what's going to happen to Comixology within days.
It was like within hours.
Yeah, they actually changed Comixology completely. They've removed for iOS users they have removed in-app purchases, which is a real shame for Apple users, because one of the things that Jerry Conway, very famous, the guy, also known as the guy that killed Gwen Stacy, the guy that Gwen Stacy, sorry, spoilers there, people, in case you haven't seen the film. The
40 years 40 old.
Spoilers for 40-year-olds.
No, it's probably 20 years
old. Actually, we have an entire episode based on that book yeah. where we talked about
one
it,
of so. The most famous comic book stories of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as he pointed out in an article, one of the...
Spoilers for Gotham coming up.
Yeah, one of the really important things in digital comics is serendipity and is spontaneous purchasing. Mm. What in-app purchasing did was allow you to get to the end of an issue and go, oh, I'll have another one, or flick through going, oh wow, there's a new Batman book out, I'll buy that, or whatever. And so the extra step that Comixology on iOS makes people do, and I wouldn't be surprised if this comes into the other formats as well eventually, is taking you to, you know, a browser-based purchase, mm-hmm. and then you have to go back and you can download all your comics.
Now, we should stress that this is only for iOS users at this point, because Amazon, when they bought Comixology, Amazon has already very publicly said they don't want to pay Apple through their in-app purchasing. They don't want to pay the 30%. So they want, because they have...
Which is reasonable.
Well, because, and very reasonable in this case, because they actually have their own, purchasing system. Mm. So because they have a storefront and their own purchasing system, why are they using somebody else's purchasing system, basically? So if you're actually on an Android tablet or any computer or whatever, it makes no difference, because you can actually do purchases through PayPal, through a credit card, through what's it called? What's the Google system called?
I'm not sure.
Google Play. You can purchase through their system. So at this point, if you're actually on an Android tablet, your Comixology hasn't changed. You can still do in-app purchases. If you're on a Windows phone, I'm sure you can still do in-app purchases. But on the iPad and iPhone, you have to actually go to the website.
I've got a few couple of comments here from listeners about this. When I put it on our Facebook page, Craig Bruin, longtime listener, said, I'll be curious as to see how this decision will affect their revenue stream. Whilst they remove the 30% cut to Apple, surely there will be a significant impact on their overall sales based on the loss of the impulse purchase.
Yes.
The real question is whether that impact will be less or more than 30%. Certainly a curious decision for a large and successful company to make, struggling to find the positive in it myself. We've got very reasonable listeners out here. Paul Ryan says it's less efficient, who I used to write with on DVD Bits and a bit on the Real Bits as well. It's less efficient, but I'll live with it. It's only a couple of extra steps to bring up the Comixology website on one's device, and there's still plenty of impulse buy temptation. Mm. So he's not going to be affected by it. John Friswell says they didn't explain things. I didn't know how to get comics. I guess if you're into comics, you'll go and get them. It's a pain, though. The question is, will the comics be cheaper now? Because... Apple doesn't get a cut, but because
Amazon gets their 30%
still. So. Yeah, that's what we're just talking about. But then as Paul responded to that, Paul Ryan says, this is already how Kindle Reading app operates on Apple products anyway. Jerry Conway seems to be unaware that many of the other apps on the Apple storefront enable purchases outside of Apple. QuickFlix being a local example here in Australia. So this isn't a model that people aren't familiar with, but...
But the difference is, to put this into context, the issue is when Amazon bought Audible, for instance, they took away in-app purchase on Audible, and you have to buy your audiobooks through the website, and then you sync them to your device. When they put Kindle onto the iOS, you have to buy your books outside, and then you sync them in. The difference between Audible and Kindle, though, are these are long form. You buy a book and you're going to be with that book for a couple of weeks, right? Mm. You buy an audiobook, you're going to be with that audiobook for a couple of weeks. Comic books you polish off in literally 10, 15 minutes. Mm. And the temptation with a comic book is you finish it and you go, buy the next issue, buy the next issue, buy the... So it's much more of an impulse to keep buying that next issue.
Sean Riley says, and Sean's another person, a friend of mine, who actually says on this discussion, it's pathetic. He's got a very strong opinion here. He says, it's pathetic. I'm totally down with his, meaning Jerry Conway's, analysis. This is designed to push people to Kindle, but does anyone seriously go, gee, I don't know which tablet to buy, but Comixology works better on Kindle. Guess I'm buying a Kindle. and that seems to be the rationale behind Amazon's decision, but also partly, as you said, David, why use somebody else's storefront when we've got our own?
Exactly.
I think seems to be the more pressing reason to why they've
done who in the last 2 weeks while we've
and
been
why
off,
pay somebody else 30% when we can take it ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 weeks while we've been off, I have actually purchased a book on Comixology through their website, and I have bought one on an Amazon tablet. And I mean the process is not that hard.
On a Android tablet, you mean?
Oh, sorry, Android. What did I say? Amazon tablet. Oh, there is an Amazon tablet, but no,
you don't have one.
On an Android tablet. What's really nice is because everything synchronizes over their Whisper network.
Yes.
So basically, the in-app purchases on the Android tablet, you purchase your book, and suddenly it's on your iPad. There is no denying that the iPad reading experience for a comic book is still the greater reading experience.
I agree.
Because of the
I've got an Android tablet as well.
Because of the Retina screen and everything else. The iPad is just, this is how I read comics.
Mm.
But what I'm finding now is I'm buying comics more on an Android tablet.
Yeah, look, it might change the way it might change the way we buy, but we're comics readers. We're gonna hunt out the comic to get the, because we have to read these every week, right?
Well,
we don't have
to, but we do a show. So. My wife would not go hunting for a comic.
No.
You know?
And this is the point for that Conway is sort of getting at. The casual reader will not make the extra effort because it's extra effort. Even today, I went into my local Sydney comic book store looking for a copy of The Woods, and I knew who the authors were. I knew which publisher brought it out. I could not find it on the shelf for the life of me. Like there was only one left, but I couldn't find where the Boom Studios books were.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, if I have to, and I know the publisher and I have to look around to find it, how the hell would an average reader come in and go, oh, I heard about this book in the newspaper called The Woods. Is it good? And chances are it'll be sold out if it's been mentioned in the newspaper.
By
definition, so digital is the way where the people are going to have to go to get it.
Correct.
And if the digital experience is too damn difficult, well, it's not going to drive sales to anyone.
Now, we should point out very quickly, sorry,
before you jump in,
we should point out very quickly that if you have the Marvel app or you have the DC app, which are actually both Comixology apps, they're both maintained and run by Comixology, on an iOS device, they still have in-app purchase.
They still have in-app purchase, but they've seemed to remove some of the functions. Like the linking between series and things like
and
that.
And the reason they still have in-app purchases is because they're actually under contracts with Marvel and DC. Even though they're run by Comixology, they have
they use the software but not the...
Correct. Yeah. So if you are just a Marvel reader or you're just a DC reader and that's the app you use, you probably haven't noticed anything changing at this point. Just be aware that the Comixology app... So if you're looking for independent comics or you're looking for those slightly lesser known titles or like any of the imprints of Brian Michael Bendis's older stuff... That's the stuff you're going to miss out on. Now.
Yes.
You're not going to find that impulse. Like, as an example, I just started reading a book called, I don't know how to say it, it's Azure or Azure,
Azure,
which is a digital only comic. Beautiful artwork, and it's only like 8 issues. And I found this because it was the first issue was a freebie on Comixology.
We've got about 30 seconds left to talk about this. So
okay, yeah, it doesn't really affect me that much because I still print and bag and bag and board, etc. But I'm interested to see how it impacts piracy because as far as I know, you can't digitally download illegally download a comic book directly on your iPad or your...
Except for a 3D image?
Through image.
Illegally.
Illegally?
Yeah, legally.
Illegally, no. Like torrenting
that's
and all that
stuff.
That's
still an extra step as well.
Yeah. Like that still has to be done on your home computer, so I don't think it'll affect...
It should, like in theory, it shouldn't. It's no easier to pirate than it is to go through comics.
And if you're going to pirate a comic book, you're still using a PC or a Mac anyway.
And if you're pirating comic books and you're not a comic book fan.
No,
because
you're not supporting.
Because you're not supporting the industry. You've got to put your skin in the game because otherwise you have no right to complain that they're not making as many books anymore.
Like that's what's interesting to me because I'm wondering where the sort of decision to do this comes from, right? And so that points us in that. The direction of where,
yeah,
I guess.
Look, I mean,
because it's clearly not for piracy.
At the moment, it could just be a stopgap measure. It's purely Amazon making sure they're getting their cut now that they own it.
It's Amazon taking control.
They might change it. They might develop their own in-app purchasing system soon, but maybe not.
But they won't be allowed to use it because that's within the terms and conditions. That's as a conversation for a completely different show because that's getting into technology.
Anyway, and because we are now almost 40 minutes into the show, we haven't even talked about our kick-ass book of the week. we should probably do that.
It's a small book.
We really have forgotten how to do the show, haven't we? No, actually, we're doing exactly how we normally do the show.
Absolutely.
So it's time for our kick-ass pick of the week.
Well, see how you like this.
What is it, Batman?
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny.
It's the pick of the week.
Secret agents dedicating their lives to protecting the world. Peter Parker's parents disappeared on their last mission. They left behind a son they'd never see grow up into the Amazing Spider-Man. Now, Peter Parker has been targeted by a hidden evil, but he won't face it alone.
Who are you?
My name is Teresa Parker. I'm your sister.
Amazing Spider-Man, Family Business. A Marvel original graphic novel.
Teresa Parker sounds hot.
Yeah. Well, she is. I mean, unfortunately for Peter, it's his sister. That's what he meets, this beautiful girl, and it's his sister.
Yeah,
story of your life, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is an interesting one because this is written by Mark Waid and James Robinson, two amazing writers. This is part of the Marvel graphic novel series.
Which we're so happy is back.
Fantastic, it's back. We've done a few of the old school Marvel graphic novels, but we've also done
Avengers
Endless Wartime, yep, was the previous one. There's this one we're doing, and the next one we're going to do is X-Men No More Humans,
which I'm going to buy this week.
Which is another one that's coming out. I literally bought that today on the way here, so I'll pull it out.
I'm going to get to King's on Wednesday, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
You mean local Sydney comic
book
store.
Local Sydney comic store things. And they don't sponsor us, so, you know.
Exactly right.
I'm going to buy it on my Amazon Android tablet. And
your Amazon Fire.
Kindle Fire. one of the things I'm going to say is if you recognize the art and you like the art, it'll be familiar because looking behind you on your shelves, David, I can see that you are a collector of the other Marvel official graphic novel collection.
Yes.
The artist who has done the linking artwork along there is the same painted artist.
I thought it looked familiar.
Who does the work in this. And it is beautiful.
There's something very Alex Ross about it.
Yes,
as well.
It is. Alex Ross, absolutely.
It's painted finishes over pencils. And it's beautiful.
The book is like incredible in the art.
It's gorgeous.
The art
it is like
wow.
It's the one. Like, that's like no other reason you pick this up because of the beautiful art.
And what a depiction of Kingpin. I mean, it's just...
Kingpin's like one
Hawaiian
of the first
shirt.
It just sort of pops out. And it is really beautiful. Also, you want to see what... Mark Waid's been doing amazing things on Daredevil and Incredible Hulk and countless other books over the years. I really was interested to see what his take on Spider-Man was. And I'm glad they gave him a Peter Parker kind of outside of the continuity book to kind of... Because this came out just before Superior Spider-Man ended, so it was kind of a...
Parker in the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It is. It totally is. Yeah. It's kind of like there's a MacGuffin in there. They kind of brought in all that stuff that's sort of playing in the movies about Peter Parker's parents, super spies. Try saying Peter Parker's parents three times quickly. But his parents being super spies and all this kind of stuff. And that's kind of the background that's lurking in here. And the notion that...
Hang on, Peter Parker trying to speak French too is probably one of the funniest
things. That was hilarious, yeah. They got some really great Parker
moments.
What was
it, Teresa said? She goes, "You don't really speak French, do you?"
Well, there's the notion that you know, and this is the thing, it's a funny book. It's a really good adventure story in the heart of this that is really just when you actually break it down, you think about it afterwards, you think it was all Much Ado About Nothing in some ways because we spoilers.
Yeah, of course.
Spoilers and all, remember this, people. So if you haven't read this book yet, and it is very, very new out on the shelves. Yeah. One of the outcomes,
and it's a big spoiler, so
it's a big spoiler, yeah, because by the end of the book,
Gwen Stacy dies, right?
Gwen Stacy dies.
Sorry.
Stacy dies. could have been Gwen, could have been Captain. you'll never know. By the end of this book, I won't spoil it. The identity of whether or not this is Peter's sister or not is actually revealed, kind of, because there's still some ambiguity around it.
What's interesting is that for all of the hubbub of the book with, you know, giant robots and everything in the desert, it begins and ends in basically exactly the same place. It's like it kind of comes to a conclusion. You go, all right.
Yeah. So it could be real. It's almost, it was all a dream.
Yeah, almost. You know? I love the fact that the opening of this book is all about him just trying to cash a check.
You know? Yeah.
I want a
typical
sequel.
Peter Parker. You know?
He goes to the thing, and as soon as he walks into the place is robbed.
There's like three pages where Kingpin is just lost in the desert.
Yeah.
I would love to see a whole graphic novel on that, like just the Kingpin in the desert.
Fisk of Arabia. That's what we call it.
And speaking of Kingpin, I want to come back one more time because I never thought I would read a book where Kingpin spends the entire book in a Hawaiian shirt.
Or would it be Wilson of Arabia? Yeah, I know, just the whole Hawaiian shirt thing.
The Hawaiian shirt, the white hat.
This is the thing. With Kingpin was one of those characters that was a joke character when he was introduced in Spider-Man originally. And they always talk about the fact that Frank Miller took him in the pages of Daredevil, and that one panel, kind of you watch him light a cigarette, light a cigar up, light his face, and suddenly he's the most menacing Frank Miller character in history. And since then, Kingpin's been a force to be reckoned with. Mm. And even for all of its misguided filmery, the Daredevil film had amazing casting with Michael Clark Duncan. Yeah. The late Michael Clark Duncan, just in terms of having an imposing, menacing...
Big man
who was physically large and also just kind of imposing, in terms of his space. What they've done here, just that opening shot where you talk about the Hawaiian shirt and the big white jacket and everything, that is classic Fisk. That is classic Kingpin. He is a joke outwardly, but he is the most menacing, one of the most menacing villains.
He's a great character, and I just love the fact that he's...
The little hat almost perched on the top of his head, this giant head.
He's in charge from the first frame that you see him.
Yes.
And I love that, because, I mean, Kingpin, for the long-term readers of Marvel, he has been disgraced, he's been this, he's been that. And so to see him kind of coming back in this one-shot graphic novel where you sit there and go, yeah, this is the Kingpin we want to see.
Yeah.
You
know? Look, the story, the ongoing story in here, it's basically a spy story. Mm. It is an old-fashioned spy story too, which is something that Marvel's doing very well at the moment. Not least of which is on the big screen with making Captain America into a spy film. But you got books like The Winter Soldier and so forth, a bit of March and going on. But this the new element of in some ways the sister is the MacGuffin. Because it doesn't really matter what happens to the sister by the end of the book.
No, we just needed her to get him into the story. We needed him to get him into the
adventure. And in a way, get him away from New York. So you don't get clogged down in that hole, as you were saying before, the continuity.
Yes.
I love it when somebody says, Spider-Man, why are you in Monte Carlo? He goes, I'm a franchise.
And it's just things like that, like putting him into the black suit just because it's awesome.
You're back in black. And he goes, awesome.
I should say, I've mentioned Mark Waid's name a few times, but it's also James Robinson is also the co-writer on this. And James Robinson is an amazing writer as well. Yeah. So I don't know how much is Waid, how much is Robinson. There is an introduction to this, but I don't think they actually talk about
the... This book is also really good because if you read it through to the end, they actually have original script to storyboards. And some of that is really interesting to see their writing process, how they actually break it down.
Should we say these Marvel graphic novels are quality productions this time around? Last time they put them out, they were big prestige format, which was amazing for their time in the 80s and the early 90s. This is a beautiful hardcover. Like Endless Wartime, like I've already got a copy of No More Humans, and it's same quality stuff.
And free digital copy when you buy them.
And that's the thing. This is what we're talking about. And this is a very clever thing. And they're doing this with a lot of the comics. You get the little code inside most of them for free digital.
If you're on Comixology, you have to redeem on the website.
Look, but the thing is, if you've gone out to the shop to buy a physical copy, going to a website is probably within your realm.
This was how I discovered the whole website and how to make it work, because I had to go redeem this code that I could get it. So
you almost wish that they just did this only, not single issues. If they had like ten of these, we're heading to the trade era.
Dude, I reckon that is the future of comics. Mm. This is the future of comics because. As you could
hand this book to nobody that's ever read a comic, somebody that's never read a comic. Yeah, and they would, exactly.
Hand this book to nobody.
Just because
it would disappear.
Because with digital, there's nothing real. You could give this to somebody who's never read a comic and they'll love it. They'll be into it.
I talked about this, it's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. Well,
like,
I talked about this when I came back from Europe, the fact that you go into a news agency there and rather than having the single floppies on the shelf, which... here in Australia, inevitably get mangled up, and you've got like a 3-month-old.
Nobody wants a single floppy.
Nobody wants a crumpled single floppy. But God, this show's been borderline blue. But they actually have like little mini collections of two or three issues, or maybe an arc at a time. Mm. And to me, that makes far more sense. You know, if you go in buying your first comic, you don't want to buy one issue for a story that doesn't end.
True.
You
pick it up and it goes, for more details, refer to.
I just gone and bought my first Avengers comic and now I have to go read Captain America and Scarlet Witch this month to pick.
There is still a place for that because the hardcore readers, we really like that. Like,
I'm a sucker for a crossover.
Absolutely.
As much as I whinge and complain about
it. We need this as well because this is, they keep talking about jumping on points. Problem with like the New 52 as an example. It's not a jumping on point anymore. It's now been going for several years and it's like, what they started is
their futures are ending.
There you go. So. But this format, this idea, these are jumping on points.
Yeah, this is, as Dave said, not only is it it's a comic that you can give to nobody. it's a comic.
Well, you can. I wasn't incorrect.
No, you can.
I was grammatically correct.
No, it's a comic you can literally give to anybody because it doesn't require any foreknowledge.
Yeah.
In fact, this one wants you to toss out everything you've known about Spider-Man and accept the fact that he might have had a sister at some stage. And it makes far more sense to me than what they're doing because I think there's an upcoming storyline in the Spider-Man books where there's going to be somebody who has another person who was bitten by the same spider.
Yeah, there's a hint to that, isn't
And they're
going to
retcon that back into it. And that's interesting. And to me, a one-off What If or a one-off Elseworlds. This is not an Elseworlds. This is still continuity, but a one-off book set outside the main continuity is your playground. It's where you can do any stories. I can't remember who said it. It was one of the great writers.
Well, we could actually go into much more details while you're thinking about that.
No. I can't remember the writer's name, but I just want to tell the quote, which is basically the problem with continuity is that it ties your best writer to your worst writer.
Yeah.
And that's the problem you're always going
to
have.
I was about to say, this
can stand alone as good writing, as good art. Gabriel Duarte's art, I can't
it's
say
gorgeous.
Enough about it.
Yeah. This is Kevin Smith's playground with his Batman books, where he sits there and goes, I'm not within the continuity of the books, I'm just telling a story. And this is, and you know, cacophony and so forth fall within this kind of
and it's just, that's what, I mean, that's what comic readers want. We just want good stories. I don't care about reboots and re-envisaging. The New 52 was a ballsy move I've forgotten the name of the publisher.
The Distinguished Competition.
For the Distinguished Competition. And it did its job because it got us reading comics regularly again in ways that we hadn't done, you know, in the months leading up to that. The fact that, you know, it has lost its original purpose is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And Marvel, look, you know, Marvel are doing some great things at the moment with all new Marvel Now and these new number one issues, and a lot of them are great, but we haven't seen the legs on them yet because
they're also not giving them time to get legs because they go, here's Marvel Now. A year later, here's all new Marvel Now.
It's like but the thing is, the Marvel philosophy there seems to be, let's tell a run of good stories, and then when that ends, we can tell another run of good stories. Yeah. And let's just get
people. Which I actually really like.
Yeah.
I like the idea that we go 12 months, 15
like
months,
seasons,
whatever, and then we go, we're done.
It's almost like you get a new director and writer in for the next season,
you
know, and using that television model, which is actually something they used to do with the Ultimates universe. Mm. The Ultimates would come out and Mark Millar or whoever, or Warren Ellis or someone would do like a season.
Well, with the exception of Ultimate Spider-Man, which would
stop, and then another season.
With the exception of the Ultimate Spider-Man, which went on forever, and then Miles Morales went on forever, all of the Ultimate comics were limited.
Yeah,
they
were
all
seasons.
They were all 6 issues, 8 issues, what have you, and then they were done.
And we're slowly running out of time here. So let's just say, unfortunately, we didn't get it. I mean, we had a lot of catching up to do this week.
We did.
And we had some big issues to talk about. I really, really enjoyed our talk about Comixology.
I did too. I thought that was
we need to maybe one day do a one shot where we just talk about this whole graphic novel, issues and events. And
it's funny
there's so much
that.
To talk about.
It's funny you mention that. There's a show that we've been thinking of doing called Panels Plus. I think it's a working title that we've got going. Or behind the panels or something, whatever we want to call it. If you've got a title for us, feedback at behindthepanels.net.
Yep.
Or hit us up on the regular places. What we think of doing, and one of the topics we're talking about was like sex and comics and censorship, which it's a big issue for us. And we've actually already got a few people lined up who would love to talk to us about that, creators here in Australia. And we know a few people that would like to request speak to us from the States as well. But what you mentioned, Dave, is a really good idea. I think, you know, something like digital comics as a topic. That's what we do. So we are planning in the next couple of months to launch this other supplementary show. We're not even going to call it weekly or monthly or whatever. It's just that when we've got something to talk about, that's not going to fit in the confines of this show. But we do have some feedback.
Yes.
I would like you to summon from the netherworlds the girl from Ipanema. Good to see you back.
Haven't seen her in a while.
I hated to see you go, but I love to watch you leave. We've got some feedback from our good friend John D, who is sending through feedback for like a dozen shows because he's finally caught up. He said, hey guys, I fell a long way behind in listening, so this is going to be feedback on Nuts to it. It's too late for that. I'm just going to be sycophantic a bit. I still love the show and you're still the most expensive podcast I've listened to, but
that's bad considering we're free.
Yeah, no, we charge him.
Don't tell anyone else.
But really, I know that's been our running joke for a year. Yes, I have been listening that long now. But I just need to thank you guys for convincing me to buy God knows how many trades by now. I did not buy Camelot 3000.
Why not?
That I would never have picked up. Saga. But anyway, now I'm rambling. I'm looking forward to catching up with you guys at Supernova next month, which we might be there in some way, shape, or form. We're still deciding.
We're on the fence.
We're on the fence. We're deciding what we're going to do with that.
I'll be there for
but
you.
But he will be there. If you see a guy dressed as Green Arrow, he said he'll be dressed as Green Arrow again, but in a new suit, and he'll actually have a Black Canary with him.
So there'll be about 500 others.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's all right, but...
John's awesome. His suit last year was good.
He's good, and I've seen him in that a few times.
Yeah.
I've seen kids come up to him in that suit, just so happy to see Green Arrow.
It was
not
good
funny.
Suit.
That's amazing.
I'll be curious to see your new suit, John.
I want to see your new suit. Anyway, I'll keep up now that I'm caught up and send some more regular feedback. Stay awesome, JD. Thanks, JD.
Excellent.
Look, John, we met at last year's Supernova.
Yes.
And I caught up with him again in Melbourne at the Comic-Con down there. And if you see photos of me floating around from that con with a guy dressed as Green Arrow and a guy dressed as Altair from Assassin's Creed, it was John hanging out with Johnny Trent at that con. So
he's good people.
He's very good people. I think he's taking a little break from his Star Trek podcast into wilderness at the moment. But he'll be back with that as well. So listen out for his stuff. Look him up. He's also a writer, John D. Google.
I'll be the guy dressed in the really expensive Iron Man suit that looks just like the one from the movie.
Don't take the mask off, so you won't know. Yeah,
yeah. Just tap me on the shoulder and ask if it's me.
I'll be cosplaying. I'm cosplaying as Stan Lee. So when you see the actual Stan Lee at Supernova this year, you won't know if it's him or not. I'm that good.
It is actually you.
It's actually
Stanley's
me.
Stanley's not really coming.
You know, true believers, I couldn't make it all the way out to Australia to see a koala, to see all sorts of kangaroos, and make up gags about how I invented them. That'll be him.
That'll be him.
Yeah. Apparently, this is going to be his last trip.
He's saying he's getting too old.
Because he's 91, 92, something like that. I mean, I'm tempted just to. I mean, we'll never get near Stanley.
We're going to get into the audience, though.
We might get into the audience.
You have to line up for a very long time, though.
Yeah, but that's the only thing we're going for. Then,
yeah, exactly.
The comics guest this year too. I mean, I don't like to slag Supernova because they were good to us last year, and we got some good interviews and things like that. But this year seems to be more of a focus on the TV film stuff. So for us, that's why we're on the fence. Which is not
and
a lot.
We're also
of
kind of really committed into the whole Oz Comic Con.
Yeah, Oz Comic Con. We've been plugging for a very long time, and for good reason. And we hope we can. Talk more about some of the stuff that we're going to do with Oz Comic Con soon, but that's next one's not till July, so we'll talk about that closer to that date. Until then, places you can find me talk about things include Twitter, where you can find me at DVDBits. You can find me at TheRealBits.com. That's the RELBits.com. You can also find me at BehindThePanels.net and also standing on street corners waiting for the man, waiting on a friend. I'm just waiting on friends.
You can find me in like brick and mortar stores, like picketing Comixology.
Local Sydney comic book store.
And on Twitter at Dave Longo.
And you can find me on Twitter at David.
And please, sorry, Dave, if you're going to Facebook me, please just tell me that you listen to the show in a private message or something. Please.
We have actually said that before. Don't just friend us. Make sure you say how you know us, because otherwise we go, who's this person?
Because before it wasn't that bad. Like, but now it's like I'm getting like 7 people every couple of days.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna keep him on the show.
Yeah,
they love me.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dave McVeigh, or you can find me at geekactually.com, which is also the home of the GMC podcast, which is a regular, but it's kind of fun. So have a listen to that.
We're gonna have to talk about Eurovision on that one this week.
Yes.
I think we'll pull up a few clips from
the
Eurovision.
Eurovision Club.
They've got all of last night's performances on SBS.
If you don't listen to GMC. The one thing we want you to go hunt down between now and next week when we come back, and we want to hear your thoughts on it, is the Polish entry this year. All I'm going to say is churn that butter, girls. Churn that butter. Until next week, I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McVeigh.
I'm churn butter.
And taking us out this
Dave
week,
Longo, yeah.
Taking us out this week is Andrew Garfield doing a little spider song. This is Behind the Panels.
He's strong, listen, but he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes that Spider-Man. Yeah.